Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, where else can we go? For with you are the words of life. And so we come once more into your presence to pray and to sing, to wait and to listen. Once again, ask your Father to send your Holy Spirit among us that we might live, that we might go from here prepared to serve you, to join you in your work of spreading the message of eternal life, the coming of the Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week we began with John's Gospel, where Jesus described the Holy Spirit as a river flowing from a believer's heart. It's in our hearts that the river begins, because that is where Jesus is meant to be in charge of us inwardly. That is where Jesus is meant to be in charge of all that we care about and believe. It is where the Holy Spirit is meant to live, in the deepest place within us, where our life resides. The Holy Spirit was described as a river, and everywhere the Spirit goes, there is life. Plants, animals, cities, businesses, nations, all of these thrive. And that means there is a spiritual dimension to all of these things as well. To Regina, there is a spiritual dimension. To our businesses, there is a spiritual dimension. To our nation. Do you care about these things? Are you working with or against the Holy Spirit to see life thrive? But today we began with a quote from another portion. We began with a quote from, rather, the letter of James, the sermon title, "The body cannot live without the spirit." Now, we know we cannot live without our heart functioning well. We know we cannot live without our lungs. We know we cannot live without food and water nourishing us. We know we cannot live if our brain is not working properly. All of these things can be seen and can be studied, and we continue to learn more about them, thanks to God. But it's not the same with our spirits to this point. And so it's easy for Christians, even, to be skeptical about the life of the Spirit, that we have a Spirit, that the Holy Spirit genuinely lives within us and is the source of the life of our mortal bodies. But perhaps as an illustration, one that we can begin to understand, we can consider the impact that emotions have on our physical health and on our energy. When you are joyful, there's a bounce in your step, we like to say. And it's almost as if you can feed off of your happiness and joy throughout the day as you accomplish tasks. Or, on the other hand, sadness can be debilitating and exhausting. To wake up in the morning yet again feeling sad, if you use a stronger word, depressed, can feel like we have no energy, that our muscles have nothing left in them. Or how about anger and fear? Our heart rate increases. Our breathing, we begin to breathe more quickly. The ends of our hands and our feet begin to get cold. Scripture and the church have taught us that in a similar way, our bodies feed off of our spirit, and that our spirit must be nurtured. Now, some of you may object that many people around us, seem to do just fine without paying any attention to their spirit or their spiritual life. Well, there's two possible answers that come to mind. First and foremost, A person continuing to do well without living well is simply a sign that God shows no favoritism. God doesn't remove the Spirit from people who are not living right. God is patient because God wants to give everyone a chance within this life to make the right choice, to be prepared for the world that is coming, prepared to meet Jesus face to face before it is too late. Scripture puts this lack of favoritism in another way, grace. God loves this creation and God loves everyone. And so God causes the sun to shine on the good and the bad alike, or the rain to fall, whether you're a good farmer or a bad farmer. And we might add to this that the Spirit continues to come and give life to everyone, good and bad. And so some people seem to neglect the Spirit and the spiritual, and they appear to be fine. But a second observation that we might make is the same can also be said for the way some people treat their physical bodies. Why is it that some people can pay no attention to their physical health, and yet they seem to keep doing fine? Why is it that some people can eat whatever they want? It doesn't seem to show up anywhere. Why is it that some people can smoke their whole lives and not to seem to be affected by it? Why is it that some people never seem to work or exercise, and yet they seem healthy and in shape? There are exceptions, things we do not understand. And yet it remains that we know that all of those things are bad habits. And for most of us, if at some point we don't stop those bad habits, they will impact our physical health. In order to live well, our bodies need a healthy spirit as well. If we neglect it, most of us, it will begin to show. So what do our spirits require in order to be healthy? First of all, our healthy spirit requires being filled with the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, thanks to the victory of God through Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said to the Romans. You know how God raised Jesus from the dead? That same Spirit, that same power, that same life is placed within every believer. If the Spirit of God is living within you, God is the one giving life to your mortal bodies. It's an eternal life, one that we know death cannot defeat or take away. Jesus taught the woman at the well that the Holy Spirit would come and bring life within believers. He said, "The water that I will give will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Last week, as I've already said, the Holy Spirit was described as a river by Jesus. But here, the Holy Spirit is described as a spring of life within us. There is no other source of life on earth. God may, with grace and love, feed people's spirits in many faiths and in many circumstances, but that doesn't change that there is only one source of life, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we heard in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that every word from God feeds your body. Every word from God is not simply a reference to the Bible. When it was written, it couldn't be. Because when it was written, the Jews, the Hebrews, were in the Exodus. Moses was leading them through the desert. In Deuteronomy, Moses is leading a reflection with the Hebrews who have gathered together. And he's asking them to remember those years in the wilderness when they had nothing. During the Exodus, he asks them, when we journeyed through the wilderness, what did we have? Well, they didn't have the Bible for the simple reason that it hadn't been written yet. So that couldn't be the word of God that Moses had in mind. What did they have? The Hebrews in the wilderness were living close to God. They were literally being led by God's physical presence, a cloud they could see by day, a pillar of fire they could see by night. When the tabernacle was set up, they would gather at the door and watch the pillar of fire and the cloud descend, and they would come to listen to God's judgments and to hear God speak. On the mountain, they literally heard God's voice, and the elders and Moses saw God. They didn't have food either. And Moses said, at times you went hungry. We went hungry, he said, in order to learn this, that receiving words directly from God provides life to human bodies. Healthy spirits require receiving life-giving words from God. Now, not many of us are so fortunate, although it still happens, so fortunate to hear God audibly speak to them. But where do you receive from God? Are there places, are there circumstances where you are receiving something directly from God that nourishes you? When you are suddenly aware of God's presence, when my son Xavier plays some of his music, it is like spiritual food for me. When I'm aware of the love of my children, it's like spiritual food. It is God feeding me. When I step outside into a forest, or I'm near a lake, or I'm watching in fields the flowers and the birds, it is like God is there feeding me. When my mind is engaged in an excellent book, a challenging book, my spirit is alive. I'm recognizing God's presence near me. Tuesday a.m. when I see our children signing in to join me in a Zoom children's moment, it is so life-giving to be with them and watch them. And Sunday mornings, watching your faces appear on Zoom, I sense God's presence and I feel God feeding my soul in these moments. As C.S. Lewis frequently observed, joy is often one of the markers that God is present. And these are moments when God is speaking to you. Receive in those moments life from God and know that your spirits are being fed and nourished so that life might continue to flow into your bodies and into our world as well. But our habits affect our spiritual health. There are things that we can do other than just paying attention for God's presence. Morality is either life-giving or life-destroying. It is either a source of nourishment or it is toxic. And so lying is always toxic to our spirits. But telling the truth and honesty are life-giving. Greed is always toxic, but generosity and giving brings life. Bitterness, complaining, they're toxic. But practicing being grateful for what we have is life-giving. Seeking to control others is toxic, but submitting to others in love is life-giving. We've also been taught by the church how crucial spiritual practices are. The need to be living lives of prayer. We have the scriptures, studying them, practicing fasting or service and giving. All of these are spiritual practices that give life to our spirits and bring life to our bodies. Now, over the coming weeks, Pastor Richard is going to be preparing some video talks, like he has been providing. I just spoke to him yesterday, so maybe he's a surprise that I'm announcing this. And once it's announced, he has to do it. He's going to be preparing video talks, highlighting once a week a spiritual practice that has been handed down to us over the centuries in the church. And I want to encourage you to tune in, to listen, and make that week an effort to practice to see what God does in your bodies and your life as you practice them. But is there an unhealthy way to go about these spiritual practices? Is there an unhealthy way to fast? For that matter, is there an unhealthy way to pray? An unhealthy way to go to church? In the Eastern Orthodox Christianity, fasting is crucial. It's expected multiple times throughout the year. And I asked an Eastern Orthodox person about fasting, and they told me that there was something called the devil's fast. It means to fast without turning to God to be fed. It's called the devil's fast because the devil never eats. He's permanently fasting. So if it was at all useful on its own, the devil would be, well, good. But the devil refuses to come to God for life. And so his fasting is useless. His prayer would be useless. Everything that we do, all of these practices, must be about drawing closer to God the Father, to Jesus our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit. Or those practices are worse than a waste. As Jesus said, it would be like as if we kicked out a demon from the homes of our bodies, that we cleaned up that home only to leave them empty, so that that demon comes back with even more and lives within the home. Jesus also modeled a proper fast when he confronted Satan in the wilderness after being baptized. And you'll remember he actually quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Jesus wanted to tell us, I'm not just fasting here from food. I am learning to depend on God for my physical life. Every word that comes from God's mouth is life to me. Similarly, Jesus even warned that there was a wrong way to read the Bible. In John chapter 5, he warned his listeners, you have searched the Bible because you think that in it you have eternal life, but you refuse to come to me to have life. Good Christian theology rejects a sharp division between the natural world and the spiritual world, as if one could possibly live without the other. Now, maybe like me, you might expect the coming of the Holy Spirit to be to go along with spiritual things, supernatural things, intangible things, like suddenly a supernatural peace like no other, or a special supernatural power to know things that you wouldn't otherwise know, to speak new languages, to see into the future. Now, there are supernatural manifestations when the Holy Spirit comes. I have seen them. But they are not the main effect of the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture or according to the Church. To me, what is so surprising, what is so wonderful, what is such a joy to discover and to begin to recognize around us, is that the coming of the Holy Spirit primarily impacts our physical world and our physical bodies. As we saw last week, once again, this means plants and animals, businesses and nations, but it also means our physical bodies. We can get away with living with poor spiritual health for a while, neglecting living a morally upright life, neglecting paying attention to God's presence and seeking after it, neglecting the spiritual practices that have been handed down to us. We can get away with those things for a while, and some people seem to get away with it through most of their life. But most of us never get away with it for long. It begins to show. The toxic impact corrodes our physical life and the life that we're living. Instead of this declining spiritual health, God's gracious gift through Jesus is that we should die to our old way of life and embrace being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Eternal life doesn't begin after we die. Eternal life isn't about going going to heaven at that point. Eternal life begins now. Jesus said, if you know the gift of God, if you know who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. I would give you the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who gives life to our bodies. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.